Good morning, everybody. Our speaker today is David Asierno, and some of you may think, who is he? Well, that's because he is not based in Madison. He lives in Platteville and commutes here regularly for his job as the Associate Director of Operations for Urbana. Previously, he was campus staff at UW-Platteville, and then he was the staff director for Western Iowa.
Western Wisconsin.
Western Wisconsin. Sorry.
It's like Iowa.
Okay, David.
Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning and get to share a little bit about my life. The trend or the topics that you've been going through in chapel don't fall into this fifth week in September. And when Roger told me it was a wild card, I thought that was somewhat appropriate for me. And in wrestling with what exactly a wild card would be, Roger suggested I share a little bit more of my own story with you and help you get to know me a little better, since I kind of tend to fly in and out and you see me wandering through the halls on random occasions. So it might be a nice thing. My life has turned out absolutely nothing like I expected it would. And that is a very good thing. Ephesians 3:20 has been a verse that I have frequently quoted in my life, that God can do immeasurably more than all you can ask or even imagine. And I have a very vivid imagination, a very vivid fantasy life, and so it's a good thing that my life has turned out very differently than what I ever expected it would be. And thinking through how to share some of my journey with you, oftentimes we were told to think in terms of a life map or key events, things that happen in your life. And as I thought of that, the image that came to me is Plinko, the game Plinko. And some of you are just like, what in the world is Plinko? I have no idea what that picture was. I heard that there were a few of you that had no concept of what it is. So I have a short clip of the game Plinko to show you. For those of you who aren't big Price is Right fans, this is the game Plinko. Hector was a big winner there, but that's a little bit about Plinko for those of you who don't have any concept. And when I think of Plinko, it's not the ending and winning $10,000 that I think of and what my life is about. I know where my life is going to end, and that's a great thing. It's the journey of getting that chip from the top down to the bottom that my life map tends to reflect. It's the chaotic unknown bouncing all over the place. There has not been a clear path that my life has taken, and I never know what's coming next. Hence the title, Chapter Next? Question mark. It has been a joy for me to live this life of unknown, facing what is coming up next. But I have to admit that in the midst of that, there's always been a struggle with trust for me. There's always been a struggle of trusting God in what is the next thing. My default tendency as a planner, as a person who likes to have my ducks in a row, is to know what's coming next. And I think that God has been very intentional in making my life such as a Plinko game all over the place to keep me on my toes and to keep me consistently, constantly, and always coming back to Him, to look to Him and say, God, it is in Your hands that I place my life and I place my trust, not in my own plans, not in my own thinking. So what are some of those nail points, those bounces that have happened in my journey in my life? Well, it's starting off as I just kind of hit some of the highlights. I grew up in a nominally Christian home. Parents split when I was 12, and I moved out with my dad, a younger sister that stayed with mom. So not only did the parents split, we kind of split the whole family. And I think a lot of my issues with trust, if you're a psychologist or psychology major, could be rooted back into all that. I'm not going to go into that today. But I'm sure that there were a lot of those beginning issues of trust that happened in there, in those that time frame of my life. Went off to high school and became a Christian. Was not a Christian when I growing up at all. Was probably heading in some pretty wrong directions in my life with those issues of trust that I had, stealing from employers and getting myself into trouble in a lot of different places and issues. But ended up going to a Young Life camp when I was in high school and becoming a Christian at Young Life camp, mainly out of a trust issue of developing a friendship with Christ. There was the issue of learning what does it mean to have a friend and to be a friend. And the fact that Christ died and was resurrected and came to life again kind of struck me in a way that I would never lose that friend. I would never risk losing, or if I were to put my trust in him, I would never lose that trust, or that trust would not be broken. And so that was a step of faith for me, to choose to trust Jesus with my life. And that started a journey for me in the Christian faith that led into college and getting involved in InterVarsity. This would not be a good NSO method, but it worked for me. I went to the very first InterVarsity large group meeting at Clarion University. I just kind of randomly went because I knew I needed Christian fellowship and saw the posters and decided to show up. They did worship that night with kazoos. I'm not kidding. They passed out a bag of kazoos and did worship that night. And at the end, I was kind of like thinking, this is a little odd, but we'll stick with it. At the end of the worship time, they made a brief announcement and said, well, as you can see, we need some help with worship. So if anybody has any musical talents, we would love to talk to you so you could come help us. Well, I had picked up a guitar about 3 weeks earlier, taught myself how to play, and meekly went up to the senior guy as a freshman, and here was an issue of trust, but said, well, I kind of play guitar. They had me leading worship the next week. It gets better. I knew three songs. We did those same three songs every week for an entire semester, just in a different order. I'm not kidding. Until somebody finally pulled me aside and said, David, can I teach you some new songs? And I said, oh, please, would you? I'm desperate for new songs. But started a long journey of worship. My first real test of faith and trust, another major shift in my life, another Plinko chip moving in a whole different direction, came about halfway through my second year of school when I suddenly realized I didn't have enough money to pay for school. The money my parents had set aside was quickly running out because I had chosen to go out of state and was eating through the small amount that they had put aside. And so I was faced with this dilemma of how to pay for school. Came up with a brilliant brainstorm. I've told you I'm a planner. I knew exactly what I was going to do. I was going to become an RA. Kind of set my whole world around that reality. I was going to have my schooling paid for and my room and board paid for and all that fun stuff. And kind of worked towards that. Went through the whole process. My RD was very excited to, RD would be residence director, not regional director in this case. And was very, very excited about it. My RD was like, yes, David, we'd love to have you. This would be great. It's like, perfect, I'm all set. So that cross that worry off. Had to wait for a couple months until the process of applying went through, and my RD pulled me into his office at the kind of the announcement time. I was like, all right, this is it. And he pulled me aside and said, David, I'm sorry, you can't have the RA job. Like, what? He's like, well, I'd love to have you, but you don't have the grades, man. Your GPA is not good enough. I was like, oh, are you serious? This was my whole plan. I mean, this was a major deal for me. So I went off to class afterwards, and I was just really in torment internally over this, struggling with, God, what are you thinking? This was the plan. This was how life was going to work out. This was how I was going to pay for school, which was a pretty big deal. And just, you know, obviously wasn't paying any attention in class, which might have been the reason why I was put in the situation in the first place. But was really wrestling with the Lord in this, and came to a point in the middle of that class period where I finally was able to put my trust of my future in God's hands. And I said, God, if not my way, then your way. You need to show me what that is. Now, it doesn't always happen like this, but in this particular situation, I think God was showing me that he was trustworthy. I left that same class, same day, chose to walk through a building because it was the middle of February. It was cold, a building you don't normally walk through on campus. Saw a job posting board, happened to notice a job for a funeral home. Called the guy up, had an interview. 2 weeks later, I had the job. The job came with an apartment in the basement of the funeral home, and it paid me. So I had housing, And I was earning money to pay for school and ended up working at that same place for the next 2.5 years, got me all the way through school. So God's immediately proving himself faithful when I was willing to say, God, not my way, but your way. Doesn't always happen that quickly, but it does happen. And if you'd like, you can ask me some funeral home stories later. I have lots and lots of those. Again, like I said, lots of dramatic shifts here in my life. The next one was heading off to SLT, the School of Leadership Training at Cedar Campus. There were some trust issues involved in that because I was involved in a relationship at the time that I was trying to break out of, was a very unhealthy relationship, and went to the School of Leadership Training at Cedar for an entire summer saying, God, you know, I really want to pursue you wholeheartedly with my integrity and my relationships. What do you have for me in this? And hoping to come out of SLT with the guts, really, to break off that relationship and to come back and to really, in a sense, commit my life to living for him without focusing on relational pursuits. Well, it just so happened that in the midst of SLT, not only did God help me break off that relationship, he helped me find another. And I met Ellen, who is now my wife. Typical SLT story. We could share more about that at another time as well. But in the midst of going through SLT and realizing that God had some crazy things in store for my life, he brought Ellen into it. There was a very specific point I remember about 2 months after SLT where Ellen and I, we had finally gotten back together. She lived in Platteville, Wisconsin. I was in Pennsylvania, and so we had kind of that long distance thing going for a while. I sat down with her after flying out for the weekend that night, and we were sitting here talking about how great it was to be back together and not on the phone. And it just was like, God, what are you doing here? What is this all about? And I really felt a sense from God saying to me, you know, David, you have a choice before you. You can choose to invest yourself in this relationship or not. It's up to you. Either way, I'm going to bless you in it. But it's your choice. And so, in typical David fashion, without a plan, without any pre-warning, I looked at Ellen and said, hey, would you want to get married someday? She said, yeah. I thought about it for about another 30 seconds. Ellen, would you marry me? She said, yes. So 2 months after we met, after SLT, we got engaged. 9 months after that, we actually got married. So it was 11 months from the time we met till the time we got married. So there's a pretty dramatic shift for you in Plinko. But that's been 15 years now, and God has amazingly blessed us in our relationship. And I am so thankful for him. And yet again, God proving himself trustworthy. Switch over to coming on staff after getting married, finished school, wondering what it was it like to come on staff. I was one of those that very distinctly remember saying in college that I would never go on InterVarsity staff. And yet here I am, almost 14 years later, still on staff. And it actually kind of by accident that I got here. I found out about 3 or 4 years after they hired Ellen and I. Ellen and I have both applied to come on staff together. After about 6 months of being on staff, though, Ellen left staff to stay home with our first child. But I found out a few years later that had they known Ellen would not have stayed on staff, they would not have hired us. Because they were hiring Ellen, and I just happened to be this add-on that they didn't know about. But you know, in the midst, there's a lot of trust issues in coming on staff that most of you are aware of. Trust of provision. Trust of my identity as a man and as a provider for my family and needing to trust in the support-raising process. There are a lot of places where God really kind of brought me through the ringer, put me on the anvil, and really pounded away at that over the years. But God's done that. There's an area of health that God... here's another dramatic shift for me. After coming on staff, I told you we had our first child. The thing that you might not know about it is that my wife's pregnancy became a tremendous health issue, a life and death issue, actually, for her. She got sick, and not just a little sick, sick to the extreme. Actually, Dave Shepherd was one of my students at Platteville, and he remembers these days very well. He was one of the students that really helped us out, you know, kind of coming over to help out with the housework and stuff. But she actually lost about 15% of her body mass throughout her pregnancy. Was in the ICU several days over the weekends. We tried every anti-nausea drug you could think of. None of them helped. Couldn't even keep ice chips down. And so we had to go in for about a four-month stretch. We were going to the clinic every other day for her to get two bags of IV fluid to keep her hydrated and to keep her just nourished enough to keep living. There's a lot of issues of trust in God when you're sitting there holding your wife's hair back as she's vomiting, and there's nothing you can do about that. And so God brought me through a trust issue of trusting him with our health. I'm happy to say that as soon as the baby was born, she bounced back. It was just a pregnancy thing. Babies were healthy. One of the things I learned is that the baby gets what they need. They take everything from the mom. So, crazy Acernos, we did it again 2 years later, and she was even sicker the second time, and we had a toddler rolling around the house, 2-year-old. But again, as soon as the pregnancy was over, God was faithful and just, and she returned to full health. Another big shift for us, another big major change was on campus and the campus engagement. After being a staff worker for 8 years, you get a lot of opportunity to engage different areas of student life. And one of those that we felt called into was doing a lot of mission work. At Urbana 2000, we had a team of students, 9 or 10 students, that were ready to spend a whole summer together with us going overseas. We had it all planned out. The plan fell apart about the end of November. So we went to Urbana with the goal of finding a new plan, finding a new place to go, finding something to do. We went and got connected with an organization that works in Romanian orphanages, jumped on board, went to Romania for the entire summer of 2001. And it was during that trip that God really raised issues of trusting him for our security, bringing along a 5- and a 2-year-old into Romania. We get to the orphanage and we spend about 2 days kind of unpacking and getting settled in, and then we see that all of the kids are getting loaded onto these pickup trucks and driven away. Wait a minute, we're here for the summer. Where are these kids going? And the orphanage director looks at us and says, well, we're going to summer camp. Oh, for how long? Oh, for the rest of the summer. Okay, so it's one of those major mission moments where you just flex and you go with it, and you get in the pickup truck with them and you drive off to about 20 miles outside of town, and you go to this empty field that's got these huts, no running water, and a whole pit toilet with a hole. And you think, wow, we're going to spend our summer here in this field full of broken glass with these 75, which were handicapped orphans. And there were 2 workers all summer that were there. Amazing stories of God bringing issues of trust in my life for him in an environment that is not a planning environment, an environment that is very chaotic, and yet God does some amazing things in me in there. It was on that trip, however, that God put on our hearts to look into and to start the adoption process. Given my wife's pregnancy difficulties, adoption became a very real conversation for us. There was no way we were going to have another one. It was during that trip to Romania that we made a pretty amazing connection with one of the children there. Her name was Fina. She was mute, actually, but for whatever reason, we really connected with her. And we decided on that trip, we'd been thinking about it for a couple of years, that we were going to move forward with this. We got back from Romania and started the process. We went through our home study. We got all our applications done. We found an agency. We did everything we could possibly do, except for the fact that Romania had just instituted a ban on all international adoptions. And we thought, okay, it's a 3-month ban. We'll wait it out. We'll be ready. As soon as they lift the ban, we'll be ready to go. Well, that 3 months turned into 6 months. That 6 months turned into 12 months. That 12 months then got extended again and again, and ended up being that Romania instituted a permanent ban on all international adoptions. So for 2 years, we waited and prayed for Fina, expecting her to become part of our family, and there was issues of trust, saying, God, what are you doing here? We have a place for this child. We have a home that we want to open up to her. We want her to have a future that she will not have. There's an issue of God dealing with me, I think, and saying, you need to trust me that I'm in control of the world. You need to trust me that I'm in control of her future, not you. And if I decide that your future and hers don't match up, you need to be okay with that, David. And it was a struggle. We had to grieve when we finally made a choice that was not going to happen. One of our students that went on that trip went back to Romania again for another summer about 5 years later and brought back pictures and, you know, the same. And it was heartbreaking to see those pictures and to hear the stories of her. But yet still, it's God trusting and saying, God, she's in your hands. What will you do for her? Well, that once we were moved through that process, another major shift here, we continued with the adoptions and moved into adopting a young boy from Russia. We got a four-year-old named Samuel from Russia. Then 2 years later, Ellen looked at me and said, you know, David, I think Sam needs a brother. That was after he was playing with our two daughters, and they were dressing him up in, you know, dresses and makeup, and, you know. Sam just thought this was the best because he was getting all the attention. He didn't have a clue what was going on, but we both kind of looked at each other and said, no, yeah, he needs a brother to play with. So we went back to Russia and got another son. This time we adopted a nine-year-old at the time, and I don't have time this morning to share some of those struggles of trust there, but, you know, God's raising issues of trust and financial provision. Adoptions overseas are expensive, and wondering, how in the world, God, are you going to do not one, but two of these adoptions? And yet God is faithful. I am here as a testimony to God's goodness today that we have paid off both of those adoptions completely in less than 5 years. It's an amazing testimony to God's goodness, and I'd love to share more about it with you, but unfortunately I don't have time. There's lots of assorted other areas and places where God has shifted me in my 8 years on campus. I had 5 years as a staff director, getting a master's degree in game playing. You can ask about that later, too. Leading up to this current Urbana role. And there was a lot of trust issues involved in taking this job. There was a lot of trust in wondering, what is it like to come to the NSC from the field? In the field, you hear that a lot, and there's a lot of reality of crossing a culture into the NSC. It's true, it's there. There's a trust of taking a job with an end date, which was a new thing for me. There's a finite end to my current position, and a lot of that leads me into my current struggles with trust and where God has me right now. It's really interesting how God continually brings back the same issues in your life over and over and over again. It's like, God, haven't I dealt with the whole issue of your providing for me and my family? God, haven't I dealt with trusting you? And, you know, haven't I learned this over the years? And yet here I find myself, honestly, very distracted, trying to do a job that's rather intense, takes a lot of my energy, and I'm distracted by wondering what's next. What does it look like for me to trust God now, in the midst of some really crazy circumstances in my life? When I took the Urbana job, you know, I had a lot of confidence that there would be something afterwards. But life continues to change and adjust for me. You know, we were trying to sell our house to get back into Platteville. We live just outside of Platteville. That's as my children become older. They are now 10, 11, 12, and 13. And so there's a lot going on in my own personal life at home, a lot of school activities, things. So we tried to move back into town to make things easier. Well, that obviously didn't work. The house wouldn't sell. The economy is tanked. All I hear about driving back and forth from Madison on NPR is how bad the job situation is in the world. And I keep thinking there's this big black hole out there in my future of what comes after Urbana. My wife chose to take a leave of absence this year. She's an educator, a German teacher, and has chosen to take a leave of absence to deal with some issues that we have facing in our home life. Losing that income has been rather significant. Not only do we have to do more on less, but our children are eating a lot more. Teenagers tend to eat. Every time I turn around, somebody's bringing something home as a fundraiser or a $25 charge from school here or a $30 charge for this or that. And I'm realizing as I talk to parents of older children that it doesn't slow down. It just continues to get more and more and more as they get into high school. My son Samuel, our younger son, is dealing with a number of issues. He has fetal alcohol syndrome. He has been diagnosed with a relatively severe case of ADHD, and specifically an impulse control and a negative mood disorder. And so we spent, part of why my wife stayed home was to help walk him through some major issues because we're having trouble in school. He was having a lot of social trouble. And in the midst of going to some psychologists to get him, diagnosed, the psychologist in her final report after doing all these testings kind of gave us all the diagnosis and said, well, you know what? Samuel would make an ideal only child. An ideal only child. We have four children, okay? I mean, I don't have a choice in helping him be an only child. And so there's issues of how God, what are you doing in the midst of this? What does it look like for me to trust God now? I'm in a job that I love and feel is really utilizing my gifts and strengths, but most likely can't sustain my family for the long term. My wife and I have to struggle over, does she go back to work? Because that makes it really difficult to commute back and forth to Madison when she's working full time. If she doesn't go back to work, that means I've got to find a job that can actually support my family. So we're wrestling with those issues. What do we do with our children? How do we help our children navigate life in a very difficult season where they kind of tend to compound on one another? I've worked for InterVarsity my entire life. It's been my only job outside of college jobs. Do you pursue other employment? What does it look like to pursue, in trusting God, I wrestle. Is it trusting God to actively pursue employment when you're in the midst of a busy job, when you really don't have time? Do you wait for God to open the door? I don't know. I'm asking these questions right now. I'm struggling. And then there's a whole question, do I look even outside of InterVarsity? And what does that look like? What do you put on a resume? I worked for InterVarsity for 15 years. I've struggled with that. How do you write a resume to really explain to somebody who's not part of InterVarsity what it is that you do or have done? For whatever reason, my current situation feels different to me. It feels like the stakes are higher, that the issues are going deeper, but the reality is God is bringing me right back around. David, do you trust me? David, do you trust me with the next step, no matter where that step might be? And I can probably guess it's going to be a pretty dramatic shift somehow, some way, because that's been the history of my life. I, for one, am thankful for that. Because left to my own devices, left to my own choices, I would have it all planned out. But God's not willing to let me stay there. God is taking me on a journey that is continually challenging me to trust Him more and more. And for me, I need it to look like Plinko. Because if it didn't, I wouldn't turn to Him when times get tough. Perhaps some of you are wondering what's next in your life. Hopefully your transitions aren't as dramatic as some of mine have been. Maybe they are. But I want to challenge you, in the midst of your transition, ask yourself the question, where is it that God is calling me to trust in Him more? And what does it look like for me to trust God with whatever is coming next? Father, thank you that you challenge us to trust you, that you don't let us go through life without taking us in places that we wouldn't go on our own. I, for one, ask that you would continually help me to look to you and to trust you in the small things of life and the big things of life. God, I know that at the end I will land right where you want me to land, as long as I continually seek to follow you in obedience, day after day, step after step. And I would pray the same for my colleagues in this room, that they would learn to trust you as well. Both in the small steps, but also the big ones as well. Not for our own comfort, not for our own knowledge of the future, God, but for your sake, for your glory, and for your wisdom. May you be honored and glorified this day and always. Amen.
So how did you know that on my way to work today, I was stewing and fretting and worrying about something I need to trust God for? Thanks, David. I think there's probably some other people who could say the same thing. Oh, yes, I see you nodding your heads. Are there any announcements this morning? Okay, then say the benediction with me.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.